Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Happy New Year, Happy New Year. May we all have a vision now and then of a world where every neighbour is a friend. I'm Pete Donaldson, I'm joined by Jim Campbell.
Hello.
And Luke Moore.
School's out for summer.
Welcome to Ramble 2018, Lock and Load. Feliz Año Nuevo! It's 2018, it's the Football Ramble. I'm Pete Donaldson, I'm joined by Luke Moore and Jim Campbell, as I've already said on the show. Welcome.
I was doing school's out because there's no Spelsy. I thought, school's out?
What? Yeah.
God, for like New Year.
Yeah.
Spelsy is in Argentina hunting Adolf Eichmann.
No,
and he'll be back soon.
No, we fired him.
Oh, yeah.
He's gone.
Oh, yeah, he's gone.
Fired him to Argentina. what he's doing now is up to him.
The microphone looks so sad without him. Look at it.
It's
drooping in its
It doesn't
saddle.
Look happy with him either, does it?
All that spittle. All that hateful spittle.
Spell of spittle.
Unbelievable. So, did you have a good New Year, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Let's break into the New Year festivities.
I ate a shoulder of pork.
You ate a shoulder of pork?
I was in an alley.
It's not a euphemism. It's not a newfangled nightclub down in Peckham. Actual shoulder of pork.
I like to think you kind of mounted it and sort of like give it a little nibble from behind.
Yeah, I did. That's beautiful. You know, that's how I ate all my meat-based products. As you well know, Don.
I must dominate before I feast.
I must recreate the thrill of the hunt.
It's not the same otherwise. No. I like to pursuit hunt my joints of meat in the supermarket.
Is it just joints? Like, so with an individual sausage, would you do the same?
I wouldn't put the same effort in. No.
I like to get a shoulder of lamb and I like to hide it in one of my rooms and then get really drunk and then forget where it is. And then I'm surprised when I happen upon it. I'm going to eat you, I shout.
Do you then put earplugs in and a blindfold so you can only find it by sense of smell?
Yes.
I love the idea of you having rooms. Because as we all know, we've been locked in your flat, and it's not like Sherlock Holmes' place.
No,
it?
It's got three rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you know of, mate. don't go in that cupboard.
What about the shoulder of lamb room?
It's like a really sad Narnia. So it's been a busy few days of football. I mean, quite underwhelming at times. I think at half-time...
You say that about all football all the time.
We were completely goalless in the Premier League over the weekend, weren't we?
Well, for a bit
after the initial 2-2 fixture, but I know what you mean. Yeah,
but Jim, technically speaking, we are always goalless at one point. Yeah. For a bit.
There were a lot of eggs for a sustained period of time.
There were.
I think it's fair. People are just, you can see it. You can see how absolutely exhausted some of the players are sometimes. A perfect example is the Stoke players trying to track Jose Perez for Newcastle.
He's not even that quick.
No,
and he's just young.
But everyone on that pitch looks so tired.
Well, we are going to start with Mark Hughes's issues. He's not having a nice time of things, is he, at the moment?
So, Stoke fans, pop into the kitchen.
Yeah, we're going to start with you for once.
Put the kettle on, leave it playing. Yeah. Come back in about 10 minutes. Yeah, no, they didn't start. I mean, the problem that Mark Hughes has had and Stoke have had is that he caught quite a lot of flack, both before, during and after the Chelsea game, for resting these players and for making these changes when they went, I think, 3-0 down. Mm. And he was quite punchy in the post-match at Chelsea, by saying, look, I've got these injuries, this is what I need to do. I mean, they haven't actually got that many injuries. They've got a few defensive ones, but that's about it. And there are other teams in the Premier League with more injuries than them. But as soon as you go into a home game against Newcastle, I guess a fellow relegation threatened team, and you lose with a very experienced 11, I would suggest, in terms of Stoke, it's gonna come back to bite you, and I think that's why he's copped so much flack this week.
Well, he set himself up for a bit of a fall, didn't he? Really, he sort of going, who else is going to do the job?
Yeah,
who else
strange.
Is going to do the that job?
That's not the best point on your CV, is it, as to why you should stay in there?
I know the players more. I know their middle names.
Yeah, I've managed this club before. I'm doing it now.
Imagine if your boss is like that. This is your final warning. Right, if you carry on like this, you go in. And you went, oh, yeah, but who else are you going to get in?
Yeah.
Think about that before you... What do you mean I'm fired?
I know the code to the printer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, taking it back to the chat, Stoke on the pitch against Newcastle, if you look at their lineup, it's... Because I suppose the debate will be whether Mark Hughes has been there for a while. Do you give him a bit of money in January to freshen it up and give him, and hopefully they've got just enough to stay in the division? Or the other side of it is, look, we need to freshen it up with a new manager. Mm. Is the manager getting the best out of this team? If you look at the team that played against Newcastle, hugely experienced compared to Newcastle's 11. You had Jack Butland, who's a great goalkeeper. Yeah. He could arguably be England's number one keeper. Eric Peters at left back, who's a very experienced player. Kevin Vimmer, very highly rated when Spurs signed him. And you thought the move to Stoke would be a good one for him. Kurt Zouma played at a very high level. Mm. Okay, they've got a young kid playing right back. But in front of the back four, Joe Allen, Charlie Adam and Jeff Cameron, like really grizzled seasoned Premier League operators who, okay, maybe aren't at their best, but Joe Allen's only 27. You know,
he didn't look 27 on the pitch. I mean, they looked so ordinary. They looked so tired.
I thought you were going to say they look so old.
But that is a kind of... that's a midfield three that doesn't have a huge amount of creative spark in it. I mean, we know that Charlie Adam can be sort of very effective from dead balls and things, but that isn't necessarily...
But they should be tough to beat as well.
Oh, very, very much
and,
so.
And also, like, they had, like, Atsu, who's a left winger, right winger at best, depending on where he wants to play on what any given day. And they played him up top, you know. And he had a couple of chances, Newcastle had a couple of chances with him up top. I mean, he fluffed both of them, but still.
I think it feels to me like Stoke have got into this kind of malaise because they don't know what they're aiming at. Under Hughes, they've had three ninth place finishes in a row, which was their highest finish ever. Mm. They were 13th last season. You know, not really looked in much danger before now, but I think they just hit a ceiling of what they can expect.
But is that the issue, though, or is it just the fact that Hughes gave them a bit more creativity compared to their previous manager.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But it hasn't reflected on their kind of standing in the league.
It's been unsustainable, effectively. Yeah.
But what's happened? But I would go even further than that. And I think we've touched on it briefly before. They had a certain sort of style, and they were known for a certain thing. And this is the point, isn't it? With Stoke, with a team like Stoke, what can you realistically expect to achieve as a club? You're not going to be a top six side, bar an aberration like the Leicester City season, which is a one-off and we probably won't see again anytime soon. But at the same time, you can't really be happy with the same thing season in, season out. Not, as Jim rightly says, three ninth place finishes in a row, and then Mark Hughes is tasked with trying to freshen it up. So he brings in players like Afellay, like Bojan, like Shaqiri.
Shaqiri looked so disinterested.
Well, he is disinterested.
I know he's disinterested, but it's nearly the transfer window, guys, so...
and it's funny with Shaqiri, because he was one of the most highly rated young prospects in Europe, as we all remember, you know. And he didn't really seem to try a lick against Newcastle. And so you wonder whether Hughes should be getting more out of them. But going back to my original point about them, Jim saying, well, that midfield hasn't got much creativity, and he's absolutely right, but they should be tough to beat. And if it's one thing Stoke aren't, it's tough to beat.
Yeah,
they concede so many goals.
Well,
they conceded more goals than any other team in Europe's top five divisions.
Five away at Spurs, five away at Chelsea, seven away at City. Yeah. Beat Arsenal at home, but there you go.
But if the rest of the mid-table teams were either going for those kind of European places or just dropping like a stone, sort of the mid-table teams don't seem to know what they're doing at the moment. There's very little room between the relegation spots and about ninth or tenth. So they would look worse on any other Premier League season.
Well, I think, again, we've touched on this before in the season, and the scenario has arisen again, which is that the three promoted teams are 11th, 12th and 13th. And that has mixed it up a lot, and it's confused these teams that are effectively wouldn't have expected to necessarily be in this situation. Mm. And you can see, actually, the players don't know how to deal with it. You can see how those Stoke players do not look motivated. And Fuse? Why not? Mark Fuse.
Mark Shockfuse.
Knows it enough. Is so frustrated himself by that.
I saw a nice tweet saying that, and I forget who it was, so apologies, but you know who you are, said the reason they won't sack Mark Hughes is because they're terrified of the golden handshake.
Well, that's what I mean. So there's talk of Mancini, Dyche, even Brendan Rodgers as well. But Mark, it's been made clear that he's not seen eye to eye with his recruitment staff. Would Courts bother throwing money at Hughes? Hughes, probably not, you'd imagine. But then... it sounded very much like Pulis was about to be kind of parachuted in to take over again and to steady the ship and to prevent them from going down. But he's taken the Borough job. So does that confuse things a little bit?
The one move I was... he's still in the job and we have to respect that. And Mark... he's an experienced manager, so he's still there at the time of recording. One thing I found interesting was Steve McLaren's manoeuvres. So Steve McLaren went out to Israel and did some sort of director of football type strategy type thing. And he came back and he was on the Sky Sports News this morning talking about this, that and the other. And he looked like, knowing what Steve McLaren's like and knowing that he's had lots of different jobs in football, hasn't he? And he clearly still wants to manage in the Premier League. Mm. You wonder whether he was over in the UK for a reason.
Right. Okay. I can't see.
I mean, Sean Dyche isn't going to go there.
No, exactly.
And
no.
Brendan Rodgers came out fairly recently and said that he wants a real legacy thing at Celtic and he wants to win 10 titles and all this other stuff.
Also, as well, you think if Mancini wasn't interested in Leicester, then he probably won't be interested.
Just go on the bettings, guys. Just go on the bettings.
But Mancini's not long taken the job at Zenit. He's only been there 6 months. So I mean, again, that would probably be a bit surprising as well.
But that's the thing. There's a dearth of kind of managers that don't have jobs in the home. So it's like everyone's kind of happy. Yeah. Everyone's kind of content. Why are you bringing me into this? Says Roberto.
Well, Hughes as well kind of maybe has a point there. Yeah. Maybe that's a genuine question. I mean, I don't know who you'd bring in. Don't envy the task of replacing me.
They go away in the cup and they've got a real banana skin at Coventry, and then they go away to United after that. So tough times.
Well, the weird thing about that match was like a really easy PR move for Mark Hughes. They weren't going to win the match. They looked completely disinterested. That said, I thought Newcastle had to make some pretty decent last ditch tackles and indeed saves at the back end of that match.
Dalot did well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did amazingly well. Bring Stephen Ireland on. He's been out of the game for 20 months.
Yeah.
Last 5 minutes, give yourself the chance of hearing some applause from your home team.
Have that narrative.
Exactly, just have that. Just do that. But he's so kind of like bullish. He wouldn't even think about doing that, would Mark?
I don't know. I mean, Stephen Ireland is coming back from a double leg break.
When you've got the potent Saido Berahino to bring on.
See, that's another thing that they probably couldn't have bargained for. You wouldn't have expected Saido Berahino's confidence to be just basically in the negative.
He's got to have a bad lose.
That's fair, Jim, but I feel like I should bring to the table that if you're a manager that brings a striker to the club, and you, you know, fine, the recruitment thing is the recruitment thing, but Mark Hughes is the manager, presumably he sanctioned that signing to some extent. You have a responsibility as a manager to inject confidence and belief and get the best out of those players. Yeah. That's your job.
And do your due diligence as well. Perhaps Tony Pulis in some way mugged them off. I don't know what what his motivations might have been there, but who knows?
Tony loves Saido. He loved him, didn't he? He thinks of him as a son, I'm pretty sure.
Well, from a team with the wonderful Joe Allen in it, to Liverpool. Liverpool had a pretty decent festive period.
Yep.
A dramatic last gasp win at Turf Moor. Seven changes in that match, with an FA Cup derby to come this weekend. Three of the Fab Four absent. They still managed to do it, even though they made pretty heavy weather of it.
It's an impressive win, because over the festive period, with all those games piling up, one or two of the results you're going to need to get are going to have to be those leggy results where you sort of bash it over the line. And they've done that so well without three of their most, you know, potent attacking forwards.
They got a couple of those, didn't they? Last two games, I would say. They went behind against Leicester, didn't they, earlier?
Yeah, they did.
But, you know, this Fab Four thing. Have we decided who's who in the Fab Four and the Beatles yet? Because I really don't want to do that.
Okay.
And so this is what I've got. I mean, we're talking about Coutinho, Firmino, Mane and Salah. Mo Salah's definitely George Harrison. He seems like he just likes a quiet life.
Have you seen him being interviewed when Jurgen Klopp, when Jurgen Klopp handed over an award to him quite recently? He's got an adorable voice.
He's very softly spoken. I think he's Harrison.
Yeah.
All right. Coutinho's John Lennon, because everyone's talking about
pulling the strings.
Yeah, and everyone's talking about him.
Yeah.
None of them are really Ringo.
Firmino Star works really hard, holds it all together.
No, I think Firmino's going to have to be McCartney.
You think?
Because I think Mane's
so Mane's Ringo Star.
Yeah, because Mane is quite underrated this season because of the fine work of the other players, and certainly in particular Salah. I think he's kind of like the underrated genius.
I think Firmino's slightly more underrated. Maybe we should put this to the listeners.
It's probably been done on another football podcast.
But it's a Ringo Star.
No doubt.
But Jim's right about Liverpool, because those games come thick and fast, and Klopp was quite vocal before it, saying this is crazy. Mm. Yeah, he's obviously come from it.
All right, Mr. Germany. Coming over here with your ideas about resting players.
Careful.
he's saying, you know, in Germany, we don't play at all. Literally none. No games in the winter. And he's actually come to more games. But they've handled it admirably well. And Liverpool looking great, Nick. They really do. They've not lost for a long while. They're creeping up that table.
And also with Van Dijk coming in, obviously we get to see what sort of impact he's going to have. But that's a very, very positive thing that they've got that over the line. And also they've got Naby Keita coming in the summer. So they're ahead of everyone for next season already.
And they're going to lose one of the Fab Four, but they slide Keita in. It's fine. Absolutely fine. But if you look at Van Dijk, he's been out for a little while with injury over the last couple of seasons, and this season he's not been great. So you do wonder about how is that going to be the panacea to all Liverpool's problems? Probably not.
I've heard a few people saying that, you know, a few people who've been around football clubs closer than I have, saying that they would be reticent to sign a player like Van Dijk because he's got that streak in his character that. I mean, he was saying at Southampton, my head's not right, I can't play. It's not as though he was knuckling down and saying, look, whatever happens, but I'm being paid by Southampton, so I'll do my thing.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting he's like a Pierre Van Hooydonk, but I mean, he's been absent. At one point, if you guys remember, we were hearing that he was training on his own. Mm. So I've heard some people say, I don't really want that type of character or someone who's got that aspect of their character in my dressing room, but I'm fairly certain Van Dijk is a Liverpool fan, and he's wanted to be there for a long time. And I don't know this, but I suspect that he was told by Southampton, you can go to Liverpool. He might have had a clause or something like that where they said if it's a top four side, or whatever, you can go.
Right.
And because Liverpool messed up the approach, and it was an illegal approach, it sort of left him between a rock and a hard place. It wasn't Southampton's fault. Mm. So he must have had his head messed with because of that.
Mm.
So you wonder if he gets to Liverpool and hits the ground running. You've got to say he's going to improve them a great deal individually.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Liverpool makes so many sort of defensive errors that it's something to do with the coaching. It's not solvable
from one player, is it? We've seen them concede goals from throw-ins a few times this season that have really, really cost them and things that you
But it might be solvable if the guy is such a leader on the training pitch and during a game that he just organises. It's hard to make an argument that he wouldn't improve them.
But if you're the sort of player who's going to get his head turned like that, do you have that strong personality?
Absolutely.
Sort of
jump
into a club going, all right, dickheads, let's sign
ourselves
out.
But not only that, in 18 months' time, what if it's Barcelona?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, he's gone again. He's going to go again, isn't he?
That's the worry, isn't it?
The life of a brilliant footballer, isn't it brilliant?
Yeah. Training alone sounds bleak.
Yeah. It's like, what do you even do?
It's like when BBC Radio Hartlepool come and turn Donaldson.
Yeah.
It's difficult to get him motivated, isn't it? He won't even turn up half the time.
Radio Hartlepool is genuinely broadcasting from like like a front, like a terraced house on Park Road.
Is it your dad?
Is it Stuart Donaldson?
Stewie! He does the website. Yeah. So obviously, a lot of talk about Coutinho. He's absent as the transfer window swings open.
That was
probably just an injury or something, I reckon.
I'm going to call that curious.
Nike have already been advertising Barca shirts with the fourth Beatles number on it. Klopp says he's both disinterested in the Ferrari, but also still offered a, wow, what a story. He's Schrodinger's Klopp. Yeah. He doesn't know what he is.
He's Schrodinger's Klopp. Yeah. Sometimes, basically, with Klopp, it tends to be he's the happiest man in the world and wants the press conference to go on for 6 hours, or he's gone within about a minute after telling everyone in the room they don't know anything about football.
Yeah. Yeah, but when it goes within a minute, it's as if like there's some... almost like there's a ghost only he can see.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's so distracted by whatever it is he's concentrating on instead of the interview that in itself is wildly entertaining.
He's very emotionally led, isn't he?
Yeah, hugely so.
But did you see that Salah and Mane are going to Accra the night before, or was it the day before Everton?
The day before, they're landing in the afternoon before a match in the evening, which is, everyone's up in arms. And I'm usually on the side of footballers and certainly Jurgen Klopp, but in this situation I do sort of go, that is a bit strange, isn't it? I mean,
well, Salah won't be able to play anyway.
Yeah.
Klopp said that, you know, the reason he isn't going to be able to play isn't to do with him being at the awards ceremony. And he's also said that, you know, we've got two of the three best African players playing for Liverpool, so we need to respect that. And I do understand that, but it's a small window.
He said, we have to show them respect. We are going to sleep in a hotel the night before the match. They are going to sleep on a plane. That is the only difference.
I mean, that is
a huge
difference.
That's a flying bed, mate. Yeah. Yeah, have a word.
I don't think they're going to be in economy on EasyJet.
No.
Still, though.
you know, this is a, as you just said, Peter, like an African player awards, isn't it?
Mm.
And you were saying that the African season is happening at the moment.
Most of them are. Egypt's in the middle of the season and stuff like that. All the big countries.
The Ghanaian Premier League isn't on.
No, it doesn't start till February. No.
Yeah. Do you want to know who the current title holder is of the Ghanaian Premier League?
Who's that?
Absolutely.
Aduana Stars. won it by 6 points in 2017.
Would you like to know Mane's early years, where he started his footballing career?
What, in Senegal?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Generation Foot.
Oh, that's a great team name.
Generation Foot.
What do you do? Football, obviously. Yeah.
For generations.
Shouldn't it be a generation? Is it Pierre Foot in French?
I don't know, actually. My French isn't very good. Ooh. Do you know what their boxing club down there is called?
What?
Generation Fist.
Generation Punch. Well, we're going to chip off for a little while, but we'll be back very soon. We're going to be talking about the Manchesters, and we'll have some correspondence with Disco Jim Campbell. All right.
Yohan Kabab, Shola Amamovi, Hatton Ben Affery.
Nice to have him back, isn't it?
Do you know what? That's the sort of thing that happened in football that I'm very, very pleased that this show will never let me forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the amount of great stuff that's happened that we've probably forgotten about, I'm pleased that's been preserved.
Yeah.
I loved that news coming through. That made my year at the time. Joe Kinnear's back.
The Joe Kinnear and Dennis Wise.
Dream
and
team.
Mike Ashley Triforce.
The Cockney Mafia.
Wow.
Disco Dennis.
Well, yeah, it's all very sad, isn't it? Anyway, let's have some correspondence with you, Jim.
Yeah, all right, cool. This is from Oliver Bailey.
Hello, Oliver.
Oliver Memories Bailey, I assume.
Yeah, he's not put memories in it this time, so maybe that's just his nickname.
Is this an email?
It is an email.
Yeah, because is Oliver Bailey's Facebook name is Oliver Memories Bailey. So I think he's just changed his Facebook name. I don't think that's his actual name. Yeah.
2018 rebrand, people.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, Oliver starts by saying, "Dear Hombres, we all know that the Premier League rules oblige clubs to fulfil post-match media commitments. Can I suggest a rule change? You can do what you like.
Yeah.
Make an obligatory boxing-style joint press conference before and after every game featuring both managers, both captains, the biggest shareholder from each club and the referee in the middle. There would be no one else on the panel, like PR people, etc. Instead of just journalists asking the questions, there would also be a certain amount of season ticket holders from both clubs' fans' associations too. Actual verbal abuse would be banned, of course, but imagine the delicious psychodramas that would take place. Imagine a live panel of Jose Mourinho, Pep Guardiola, Sheikh Mansour, Joel Glazer, Vincent Kompany, Michael Carrick and Mike Dean, with journos and fans asking the questions.
Throwing a couple of YouTubers and I'm talking.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Throwing the questions at people.
Absolutely. Wow. Get KSI in there. owners being asked whether they back the manager in front of the managers. Managers being asked whether the squad is good enough in front of the owners. Referees being asked to explain their decisions. Captains being asked about the performances of their teammates. It would be beautiful chaos. Yours footballistically, Oliver Memories Bailey.
Oh, they signed off that one.
No, I've added that.
Oh, you have. You know, a boxing press conference, when done well, is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Quite.
It's arguably one of the finest sort of watches in sport. I can sit and watch a good boxing card press conference for an hour.
Yeah.
I just can never understand two men who are being... I like it when they're more civil to each other because it is like... You're going to be punching that guy in the face soon.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's so weird. Well,
so much of how boxing is sold is hype, isn't it? And yeah. that is a big part of the sport, and the sport has embraced that. Football can't pretend that hype isn't part of the game anymore. It absolutely is. So why not go all in and do this?
One of the greatest moments, though, obviously we don't endorse it and all the rest of it, but it was amazing, is when Derek Chisora fought Dillian White. And he threw an entire table at him. It was stunning. So I genuinely think, and I'm sure we'll come on to talk about him in a little while, that sooner or later, Jose Mourinho will be happy to not play the game at all.
Oh, he's got to do something.
Just do the press conference. Maybe sort of draw like a lottery to see what the result was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he can do his press conference afterwards.
Bit of close-up magic that he does.
Perhaps, I mean, it's getting to the point now with Mourinho where he's going to start announcing a range of cookbooks after the game.
Yeah.
Just to sort of deflect in some way.
I saw your tweet. That was very funny. But like, I just like, yeah, just to have a game of Pie Face or something. We are playing Pie Face.
Did you play Pie Face over Christmas?
I didn't, no. Oh, I don't have a very festive family. I tried to start a game of Monopoly, but no one was having it.
Because it takes years.
That's true. The big question that people want to know, the listeners, re-Christmas at the Donaldson household, did you convince your mum to cook the roast potatoes on the day?
I did.
There must be some sort of jingle for that.
Boom! No, not that. I can't stop it. That's the end of the show, guys. That's the end of the show.
You must have been delighted with that.
I was delighted. I mean, to be honest, I've got so good at cooking roasties recently that I'm like, Mum, just let me have a crack. You know, let me have a crack at the big day.
Your mum is Alex Song. Arsenal want to bring in a young midfielder to push him on a bit. That's brilliant news. Did they taste better?
They did taste better. I don't know what she's playing at.
Sorry, Jim, I'm cutting into your section.
Yeah. That's all right. It's fine. So I'm going to dive right back into that. Gents, I'm sure there will be listeners everywhere trying to figure out what to do with naff/unwanted presents that they received on the big day.
Wow.
My 3-year-old got a great present from my mum in the form of a pop-up goal for the garden. My mum knows nothing about football at all, but even so managed to pull off the biggest trolling of me without ever realising it. I'm an Arsenal fan, and what themed goal did she get him? Not a Spurs one. That'd be an easy shot. No, a Champions League themed goal. Cheers, mum. The best thing is she doesn't even know she's done it. That's from Mark Pattinson.
Fantastic.
Mark can at least put his full Arsenal kit on and pretend to score a goal in the Champions League.
Exactly. Yeah.
What does your mum know about the branding, the international branding icon that is the Champions League?
Yeah. Got another one. Hi, Ramblers. I'd like to draw your attention to ex-WWE wrestler and Ted DiBiase stooge Virgil pretending to be Virgil van Dijk on Twitter. This is madness. I don't know if you've seen this, but I promise you this is real. Virgil, clearly still feeling spiteful towards DiBiase, seems to have set out to overshadow the $1 million man by becoming the £75 million man. Ew. He's also gained recognition with a strange obsession with pasta and meat sauce. Virgil's always making eyes at American eatery Olive Garden on Twitter in an effort to gain some kind of sponsorship. Presumably, having given up with Olive Garden, Virgil's gone all in with this Twitter fraud, changing his profile picture and tweeting messages from the perspective of the Liverpool-bound defender. Though Virgil still cannot keep his mind off his beloved pasta, as most of the tweets seem to bear some mention of the Italian cuisine. That's from Jordan McLean. So bizarre.
So basically, a wrestler has started to pretend he's Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, because obviously he's
to get one up on
he's got his blue tick
man,
as well, right. So he's just calling himself Virgil and just sort of diving in, pretending he's van Dijk.
The man I feel most sorry about in that type of affair is the guy whose name's just John Lewis.
Yeah, he was getting abuse at Christmas.
I think his bio is just like, I am not the department store. Yeah.
I know a Joe Hart who has a similarly torrid time every now and then.
Nice. Yeah. Well, you shouldn't adopt Twitter early, should you? You shouldn't adopt your social medias early. Have we got one final one?
I've got highlights of the week. Do you want some highlights of the week?
Yeah,
bash them out, guys.
Ross Kirkman's telling us, has to be when Carvajal and Silva shook hands before the Watford versus Swansea game. Carvajal continued to talk to Silva in Portuguese for a good few seconds after Silva had decided to walk off. Miss that. Enjoy that a lot. Dean Tipton says, my highlight of the week is ending 2017 with all eyes on Mike Dean, just the way we, and more importantly, he, would have wanted it. Absolutely right. Stephen Mudge knows how to get a mention here. The latest Acast Plus special. Absolutely great listen, particularly as an Aussie. It's easy for us here to look at the fixtures like Iran and Iraq, a scary away trips with rubbish pitches. So to be reminded of how much more there is to football in those nations is very important and always eye-opening. Yeah, so get yourself involved with Acast Plus.
That's the special with James Montague, a fine, almost, what did Marcus describe him? Marcus told me he had been described, James Montague, as the Indiana Jones of football writing. He goes all over the place.
He puts his hand in football-related spider holes.
And he's actually the current owner of the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, I know.
So, but yeah, that's $1.99 a month through Acast Plus. Download the Acast app for that.
It's really simple. If you want to get in touch with the show, as always, showatthefootballramble.com is the way to do that. Are we going to be doing some more highlights of the week at the end of the show?
We can do if you want, mate.
Let's do some at the end of the show.
No, we're doing Going for Gold at the end of the show, Donaldson.
Well, we'll do it before Going for Gold. All right, I'm shaking it up. Who cares?
School's out.
I'm still drunk from New Year's. I've literally still got a stamp from a nightclub on my hands.
You can confirm that is true.
That's from 1999.
The millennial party. Manchester's, the Manchester's, Man United delivered to a goalless draw against Southampton at home on the 30th. But they were back to winning ways against Everton.
Yeah.
0-0 against Southampton and then 2-0 against Everton yesterday. Or was it the day before? No, wait, yesterday. Martial deputising in the wake of Zlatan and Lukaku's injuries. Fantastic 20-yard curling effort from
From
Martial.
Both of them.
It was a funny game as far as that United were poor in the first half.
Yeah.
And then they stepped up to quite a large degree in the second half, and Pogba was fantastic. But then everyone instantly forgot how bad they were in the first half, and the commentary team were like, I've got to give a man of the match to Pogba. He's been absolutely fantastic. And it's like, he has been fantastic in the second half, and he put on two goals, although the assists weren't like classic assists. He just gave the ball to the guy, who then did all the work. And the frustration for me, I suppose, is that Pogba has got the lot. He can do everything. And there's an element of truth in what Paul Scholes said after the Southampton game, which, by the way, United were absolutely turgid. It was like going back to the Louis van Gaal years.
Yeah.
They were so bad. It was definitely up there with their worst performance that I can remember. And so Paul Scholes was right. But then when Pogba fancies it, he's absolutely incredible. He is incredibly good.
I think though he's a real engine type player, though, isn't he? So a big part of what he does is, you know, is laying it off, just making space, marauding through that midfield. And if those around him aren't clicking with that, that kind of, you know, there's only so much you can do. And I feel there's been a lot of that with United over this period, because they went four games without winning, which is huge, really.
Mm.
But yeah, I really enjoyed Pogba getting a goal disallowed against Southampton, because he has such an expressive face. Paul Pogba getting denied a goal is a magnificent thing.
That's why he's box office. That's why he's in all his adverts walking down the street.
Yeah,
talking about Adidas.
He can sell things with his mere mouth.
It's almost, I feel, I don't feel sorry for him, I guess that's the wrong phrase, but it's interesting to me that whatever United do now, even if they, because there's nothing wrong with winning fairly ugly and going about your business and winning and winning the league. I mean, we've seen teams do that in the past. But United have been thrown into this whole new, and I'm going to use the word again, like existential sort of nightmare, because suddenly it's not enough for them to win games.
Yeah.
They have to look good while doing it, because what's happening down the road, and everything is being judged in that context. So I'm fascinated to see how this plays out between now and the end of the season with Mourinho, because this, I've seen people comment and ask whether he is in his third year Mourinho and his second year already.
It feels that way.
And I was chatting to someone the day before yesterday who was saying, you know, is Mourinho laying the ground for an almost like as honourable as Mourinho gets, but like a respectable departure from Old Trafford, to go somewhere else.
Well, do you think that Jose was sold the job as to just get us back winning? Get us back winning, get us back up there with the big lads, just sort it out.
Yeah,
but in the meantime, Manchester City have kind of built on what they had last season and created this incredible football club. It's a long season. Things might change for Man City. You already saw like the results dropping off a little bit for them.
Yeah.
But they got one draw.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally them dropping off, mate. That's foot off the gas. Yeah. Boxing Day, cradling a big fat stomach.
That was an incredible last 5 minutes of a game, just at the Palace. Did you see? I mean, it was unreal. The penalty and the penalty miss, and then City went up the other end and almost scored. It was crazy,
unspeakably good.
But United, I mean, they play Derby in the FA Cup next. I mean, I love third round weekend. It's the best weekend of the season, arguably for me anyway. And then they've got two quite winnable games. We mentioned earlier they play Stoke at home, and then they play Burnley away, who've been very, very good this season. So that'll be a nice measure of what United are all about.
Well, look at the problems that they gave Liverpool in particular.
One thing I found very interesting about the United game, sorry to cut in there, Pete, is how many shots from distance they had against Everton. It was really, really noticeable. It was a clear tactic. And you wonder if without Zlatan, without Lukaku, Mourinho thinks maybe we're going to struggle a little bit to get in behind that defence, despite the pace of Martial and Lingard. And it paid off for them. But I thought it was a very markedly strange tactic.
Yeah, I think against Everton, Everton looked pretty aimless at times. I think Rooney was part of everything good that happened with Everton on the day. But like Nias had one header, and that was about it for Everton, to be honest.
And the special mention for Jesse Lingard.
We'll probably edit this out.
Yeah. He's been fantastic.
He really has.
He's in the form of his career.
He's scoring a lot of very different goals as well. Mm. The two he scored the other week were beautiful.
It's getting to the point, if he carries on this trajectory, I'll actually be excited for him to come off the bench for England in the summer.
Yeah.
I'm being serious. Yeah. I think it would be exciting.
Well, can he play that impact sub? Is that his kind of...
I think that's what he would be doing for England, right. Yeah.
Well, fair dues. But Stephen Nzonzi is a target for Everton. Would they give them more just in front of the defenders, or do they need more midfielders? Is that the problem with Everton?
Yeah. Well, as we said before so many times about Allardyce, he is an arch pragmatist, isn't he? Mm. So if he's identified a player he thinks can... improve his midfield, he'll probably just sell another midfielder to make space for them. But the striker thing is the obvious thing. The link with Cenk Tosun from Besiktas and Moussa Dembele from Celtic as well, which I think might be quite hard to prize him away. But I think the most interesting one I've seen would be Michy Batshuayi. I think that would be quite a good fit.
Do you know what I like about this? And it's something I mentioned when Allardyce took the job, saying that Moshiri is fairly new to football and all the rest of it. And I said Allardyce will take him round to the absolute cleaners. He knows he's got money. He's seen all the money that's been spent already. He's going to play the card that he says, well, I'm a new manager. You need to give me my players to work with. Mm. And he's going to sign players. I've got a feeling this transfer window could go crazy.
Back me or sack me. Sam Allardyce.
He probably won't say that. He'll probably just say back me. Mm. Back sack or crack me.
Nobody wants to think about Sam Sack. But you were talking earlier about Jose getting upset with what Paul Scholes said. Paul Scholes was questioning mainly like Paul Pogba's kind of demeanour, his fitness. He just didn't look interested. But I think Jose had to temper his comments a little bit. He would have gone all out, I think, if Paul Scholes wasn't the player that he was for Manchester United. But he did say that I think the only thing that Paul Scholes does is criticise. I don't think he comments. I think he criticises, which is a different thing. He started calling the ex-Ferguson era players in the media Kings of Rock and Roll, which I think is quite nice.
I also like the fact that he went, I'm fed up because all you ever do is criticise.
Yeah, that was a swerve.
Alexander O'Neill.
Classic deflection from Jose.
I was speaking to an ex-pro earlier today and about in the context of this Paul Scholes thing. And he said to me, sometimes, you know it's unprofessional, but sometimes you care so much about the club that you can't help it. You just hate it and you really want it. And I think that's partly what's happened with Paul Scholes. And I do think that Mourinho's got a bit of a point here, because you hear about all this class of 92 and all the rest of it. And you wonder whether they all think,
they deserve a role at the club.
Yeah, I think they might feel that way. I think, you know.
We give so much to this club, and look at what's happened now. Why am I not on 100 grand doing this? Yeah.
And look at the way that Ryan Giggs was sort of cast aside. Mm. I know Giggs is a wealthy man, I'm sure he's always going to be fine, but that hurt him.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a reasonable leap, to say that could have hurt someone like Scholes as well, who's not only a good friend of his, but he probably thought, look, if Giggs gets a job, that's me as a shoe-in on the coaching staff, you know? Maybe it's something to do with
also,
that.
Also, as well, given the success of that generation and how many of those players were English, there are a lot of ex-United players working as pundits. Probably, it's a pretty unique situation for Man United to have to deal with so many of their ex-players who represent the era not only of the golden sort of trophy-laden days, but of the best manager they've ever had, whose shadow still looms large. Mourinho's got to do something about that if it's affecting the players. Because if you're getting pilloried left, right and centre, could you imagine Ferguson saying that about, like, Bobby Charlton or Dennis Law?
And the only person who's from that generation, ex-player generation, that's at the club, I think, is Nicky Butt, who's the youth academy director. And a few of them are ambassadors and stuff like that.
For services to the matches he played for Newcastle against Man United. Yeah. Just disappeared.
Man United are very close to his heart, but you can't expect a man to be professional in that situation.
He's having a nice little run around with his friends.
Wearing the black and white of Newcastle United.
This is what I signed for Newcastle. I can miss him whenever I want.
Oh, dear. So we'll probably move on to a bit of Man City. They're playing Watford tonight. Big Sam's team almost broke City's unbeaten run. Yeah. Unbreakened.
You mean Big Roy's team?
Sorry, Big Roy's team. Big
Roy the boy.
Sorry, Roy the boy.
Speller would be turning in his grave were he dead.
Big Sam, Jesus, sorry, what's wrong with me? I told you, I'm still drunk from Poland.
Great explanation.
It was a great ending to that match, as you said. How important mentally, possibly for both teams, was that save?
I think it was a woeful penalty.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
I just think in a situation like that, you've got to look at the striker, someone like Christian Benteke. I think, step up, pal. Take the responsibility.
If you have to, wrestle the ball from the guy. did you guys think it was a penalty? I thought it probably was on balance.
It was... It wasn't the clearest penalty, but I think I agree with you, probably, yeah.
Are they getting away with it? Is the referee getting away with it because of that Mike Dean decision?
Maybe.
That's just taking all the colour.
We all get a free one this weekend, boys.
Oh, right, yeah. But it was a terror. I mean, I was so excited watching that game. Like, the last 5 or 6 minutes, that I hate to sound like the older, you know, the Sky Sports cheerleader, but that was vintage Premier League.
Tense.
I mean, the passage of play, the fact that he's given a penalty there. although I said I thought it probably on balance was a penalty, and I think looking back on it, it was probably 50-50. The pair of brass conkers on the referee to give that. I know it shouldn't make any difference.
How many times have they not been given those sort of,
I mean, I'll take you back to when Robert Pires dived against Portsmouth in the invincible season for Arsenal. He dived over Ariane D'Souza, leg and got a penalty. Yeah, you loved it, James. I didn't like it very much at all.
I didn't care for it.
I'm so angry I called you James.
Yeah, and Dazeo became a detective, homicide detective, to write injustice forevermore.
He's been murdered.
He's still searching for Pires. He can't find him. He's on the phone to Interpol. But you said it was an amazing, amazing passage of play. And then City went up the other end and might have scored had Crystal Palace not physically assaulted every single one of them on the way.
No, this isn't happening.
De Bruyne. Jesus Christ.
That Jason Puncheon one.
That was so red it was black.
Yeah, Jason Puncheon, basically with no concern for his own well-being.
Yeah.
But I think he might have injured himself as well.
Yeah,
I don't care what anyone says, it's the hallmark of a dirty shot. I'm taking this down to the trenches so much, I'm going to put myself out for a month.
I like what Pep said about Man City not maintaining a run throughout the season. He's convinced he's not going to get this Invincibles title off Arsene Wenger. He said, maybe Arsene is worried about that, but I tell him many times that the 2004 run is for him. Today is completely different to 2004. For one, he had hair, so it's very different now.
And was a player.
He had...
Al Khalil, I think.
He didn't really have that. He's never really had that good hair.
He had strong hair back in the day.
He's a bit of a Zidane, though.
Even in 2004, he had hair.
Talking about this unbeaten run, and I guess because the title was pretty much over, that's one of the things we have to talk about. I said this last week, I'll just reiterate it now. They go to Anfield on the 14th of January, and that will be a humdinger.
Yeah.
Look out for a 0-0.
Well, it looks like, the decidedly unfestive sight of Jesus crying over the festive period was kind of a big... It's going to be a big hit for Pep. It might be either 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or possibly as long as 2 months.
It's looking quite serious. It could even be 12 weeks.
Well.
Brazil
is watching.
But De Bruyne is not as bad, is it?
Right,
no,
yeah.
De Bruyne
is
a couple of weeks. Apparently.
He's going to sit out the next game. I think they're playing Watford. He's going to sit out that game and then come back for the next one.
I mean, Aguero will slot in. But should anything happen to him, we spoke about this at the start of the season. Like, could they potentially be light with a bit of bad luck?
Aguero, you know, he has sat out fair swathes of previous Premier League seasons. He's not a complete stranger to a bit of an injury crisis himself.
But he's been rotated a lot, so actually this isn't the worst time he can step in.
I think among all the other credit we give to Guardiola, I think that he deserves even more for managing and balancing Gabriel Jesus coming in and still keeping Aguero happy, because Aguero has been linked with moves. I mean, and like you say, Pete, he's had injuries here and there, but I think it's only Raheem Sterling who scored more goals than Aguero this season. And we talk a bit about Rafa Benitez wanting players in, and I've seen some...
You're right, Mitrovic swap deal, I'm up for it.
No, sadly, I wasn't going to go down that avenue, but I've seen some pundits say, you know, Rafa Benitez, how can he get the best out of his players when he's just undermining them, keeping saying in these new players coming in? Well, it doesn't always have to work like that. I mean, if Aguero has obviously viewed Gabriel Jesus coming in and thought, well, I've got to up my game. I've got to step up another level again. And you know what? He's outscoring Jesus, and he's playing. So he'll be able to come in and do a job there, no question.
Yeah, I mean, if they were without both, who do you think would go in? I mean, Guardiola could probably put Fabian Delph up front and it would work. But you're thinking probably Sané, Sterling, maybe even David Silva as a sort of false nine. You still feel they'll be all right.
They're one of those teams that aren't kind of...
Edison.
They aren't relying on this Harry Kane kind of character, are they? Yeah. They're very passive. They spend a lot of time in the 18-yard box of opposition, and then they can pass through tiny, tiny balls. So anyone, really.
I think Guardiola could turn any player in that squad into a great striker with about 3 days' notice.
Yeah, that's where Spelsy's gone.
Someone was saying to me today that Guardiola spends the most time with... forward line of any coach he's ever seen. He apparently really drills into them, their movement, their runs, all the stuff they need to do properly, link-up play and stuff.
Right, let's hit ad break. We'll be back with a little bit more football.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Beautiful young eggs. Eggs that need a mum to take care of them.
Very nice. The previous show, sponsored by Bet365, is coming back this coming Friday. How did our best better get on last time, Luke?
Oh, it was me.
I believe it was you.
Yeah, and I narrowly and unluckily missed out. Was an over 3.5 goal shout in the Liverpool-Leicester game, which of course finished 2-1. So we need someone else in the hot seat. I was just trying to get in there to give it a real lift, to give the listeners a bit of a leg up, and I failed. So someone else has got to step up now. Show at thefootballramble.com if you want to provide our best bet with Bet365 this week. And I'll pick my favourite from the email inbox.
You do that.
I will.
You do
that. Sorry for letting everyone down, including charity.
Well, you gave it the big licks. And you stepped up to the plate, and that's the important thing.
It is.
A plate that was overflowing with food over Christmas.
With pork shoulder.
I'm putting myself in the positions. That's what I can do. the goals will come, mate.
Do you want to go to the Football League?
Yeah.
Specifically you, Luke Moore, Portsmouth fan.
Get out of it.
Come on.
Do you know what they did, Portsmouth?
What did they do?
For those of you out there who call yourselves football fans but might have missed what Portsmouth did last time out, 1-0 up at Bristol Rovers with 5 minutes to go. Lost 2-1, baby.
Brilliant. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Is the title bid off?
They'll always let you down.
title tells. Tony Pulis got his first win of the season at Deepdale as his new team took on Preston. The Borough defender, Fabio, not the male model, Fabio, took to Instagram after being dropped saying, "You all deserve better." So it's good to see that he's made a lovely start, not rubbing people up the wrong way or nothing.
What does he mean? Let's try and analyse that comment. What do you think he actually means?
You all deserve better.
Than Pulis. He's just coming out swinging.
Well, I read that as, there's two ways you can read it. One is, I should be playing better and you deserve better.
Right, yeah.
But it should be, you all deserve better than that person playing ahead of me. It should be me and you.
Maybe, but it definitely sounds like a come and get me. He posted like a picture on Instagram with him sort of waving to the crowd and stuff, saying goodbye and stuff. So it looks like his might be numbered.
They were 2-1 down, I think, with about 25 minutes left by. They turned it around. That's what Tony will do for you.
Tony will do that.
I like that he's just, had no qualms about dropping down a division. You know he's very confident he can just get them up with a bit of time.
There's an incoming loan bid for Saido coming.
Yeah.
look out for that.
Well, beautiful boy.
I'd love that.
He would.
He'd need that.
Saido would never step down a division, I don't think.
You're right. Well, he's doing it with his performances.
He's patently out of his depth. Yeah, he's doing it with his performances. Yeah.
Nottingham Forest. I hate it when they call him Notts Forest because it's too close to Notts County. Nottingham Forest once again looking for a new manager. Gary Brazil has now been caretaker for Nottingham Forest three times and for County twice. So 3-2 to the Tricky Trees there.
What a servant to the city of Nottingham. Yeah.
I'll go either.
Put a statue up next to Brian Clough.
Yeah. So maybe an equidistant statue.
Yeah. but just with him holding some sort of caretaker's equipment.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm gonna have my statue electrified with both AC and DC current, just to show how.
For
awesome
what reason, Pete?
To keep the pigeons off.
Okay.
Which I do believe the Churchill statue in Parliament Square has that.
Really? It's electrified.
I think so. Yeah.
Good wow. Good statue knowledge.
It's got big. It's got bigger letters than all of the statues. Bigger than Gandhi's. Arrogant.
Gary Brazil played for Newcastle, by the way, Pete.
He did play for Newcastle.
Surprised you didn't mention
his,
that.
Well, I mentioned that his daughter plays for Fiorentina. So.
Oh, does she? That's a great little stat.
That's a little stat for you. Back in football in Hillsborough, Catherine Meir, the CEO of Charlton, has now moved to Hillsborough. It's fair to say that the reaction to the appointment has been mixed.
Mixed.
At best, it's been a mixed zone.
Yeah, is mixed generous?
do you want me to contextualise that mixed reception in quotes from Pete Darcy?
Yes, please.
Last time I was at Charlton, the fans were doing a sit-down protest in the car park, so she literally couldn't drive her car in.
Nice.
That's how nice. Mixed it's been.
Get her in. The owls want her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the noisy minority.
Oh, it's looking dreadful down there, isn't it? It really is. Mm. But, yeah.
And the Charlton are doing okay this season. They're sort of there or thereabouts. They're not too far below Portsmouth, and that's not a terrible place to be.
Well, some Du Châtelet kind
sea.
Of... Du Châtelet kind of leaving the club possibly, you know, has really been the boost they needed, I think it's fair to say.
Not geographically south of Portsmouth, Jim.
All right.
Just below
I think
Portsmouth.
Metaphorically it also stands.
Depends on which way you got the map up, isn't it? So in League Two, here's a story from League Two. Forest Green Rovers were beaten 2-1 by Wickham. The midfielder Charlie Cooper got sent off, followed by his dad Mark, who happens to be in the dugout.
I love that.
Isn't that good?
Does dad still tell off son in that situation?
Yeah,
he's also got sent off himself.
You can't do that.
If I'm going on the naughty step, you're going to have to sit here with me.
Yeah, they're going to be sat in the stand like later on.
The naughty stand.
Yeah, naughty stand.
So was it the son that went first?
Yeah.
The son went first, and then the manager, his dad, complained about it.
I like that. That's good solidarity.
That's classic Saturday morning, five-a-side kids match.
Say what you like about that. But the Coopers stick together. Well, they should be the next EastEnders family.
Well, weirdly enough, one thing that I noticed, Cooper was always, his dad Mark was obviously an excellent Hartlepool player back in the day. Great football manager back in the day when he used to play as Hartlepool. But nepotism does run in the family because Mark was actually managed by his dad, Leeds legend Terry Cooper, while at Exeter, would you believe? So nepotism runs in the family.
The
Coopers stick together. Hanging with Mr. Cooper and his dad and his granddad. Yeovil versus Crawley. We all like to see this sort of thing. Someone got a Maplin's gift card for Christmas. A drone stopped play with 10 minutes to go with a score at 1-1 after an 11-minute delay.
Pete, don't you mean someone else got a Maplin gift card for Christmas?
Yeah. I haven't been down yet.
We got a lot of tweets asking if this was you.
Yeah. This is absolutely the thing Donny would do if he was told... look, someone sat him down before a game, like half an hour before kickoff. Someone sat him down and said, right, you've got to stop this game.
Yeah.
Whatever tactics you want to use, you've got to do it.
Contraption. Have I got time to charge a cell?
This is absolutely the thing you would do, Don. before getting it wrong in some way by crashing the drone, maybe on the side of the stadium so like no one noticed.
I've only ever... That'd be horrible. Yeah. Just raining down bits of metal. Yeah.
This happened before, Pete. Do you remember? We were covering it on some TV show.
Yeah.
And it was Bradford City, was it before?
The one that a professional footballer tried to get us kicked off because he didn't like us.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That doesn't narrow it down.
No. so the drone stopped the play with a score at 1-1 after an 11-minute delay. You'd presume it was a home drone, so to speak. Crawley, the away team, managed a winner in stoppage time. So not an ideal situation, really. You've let yourself down there, Yeovil.
Strange motivation.
So it's time for a bit of Going for Glold. We've wrapped up the show pretty much.
I've done that. You told me to do more highlights of the week.
Well, let's do some highlight of the week.
Thank you very much. Don't even get a jingle.
All right. Highlights.
That is the ramble default jingle.
It really is, yeah. Punctuation in many ways.
Aaron McAleese, in relation to the recent trope regarding missing big moments of a game, I went to the toilet during Saturday's Celtic versus Rangers game and missed absolutely nothing.
Thank you.
This is a good one from Bob Dunn. Not sure what day it is. Mince pies for breakfast, and there seems to be football on all the time. I hope 2018 continues like this. Sorry, Bob,
endless.
It probably won't.
You're going to get diabetes, mate, if you do that.
Right, that's all I got.
That's all you got. We've got to get involved. Just hang around the Facebook page on the day we record. That's probably your best bet, innit?
That's your only bet.
Yeah. Right, it's time for Going for Glold. Are we good for Going for Glold? Good.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. When they're going for Going for Glold 2018.
Oh, you added that on the end.
Yeah.
I'll give you...
Didn't do it live.
I'll bet you £100 you don't add that on next week.
I don't care.
All right.
No, remember that and take his money, Pete.
Yeah, good point, actually. 100 quid. That was bold, wasn't it?
I haven't got any money for the joke.
Well, it is January. Hello to Joe Deasy. Nice and Deasy does it. He's doing it for 2018. Yeah.
Sleazy Deasy.
Sleazy Deasy does it.
Eating is cheesy.
Thank you. No, thank you for Joe. Thank you for this joke.
Get wheezy. Thank you for Joe.
Thank you for Joe. Yeah. Your morning, Joe.
Everyone together. Thank you for Joe.
Thank you for Joe. One, two, three.
Thank you for Joe.
First clue. Are you ready, guys?
Yep. Yeah.
Bearing in mind, you can get one up on Marcus, who gets very upset about losing this match.
He does. And I think because it's January, and we might have a load of new listeners with their new shiny iPods or whatever it is.
All right, Grandad.
Explain the rules of the game.
Basically, I give you... It's basically JJ's mystery player that happens on Friday nights on Five Live.
Because he stole it from you.
He stole it from me.
Yeah.
Basically, I give you some mystery clues pertaining to a particular mystery footballer, and you guys have to guess who it is. To stop me, you have to say stop.
One guess per round. And this game has had its fair share of controversy already this season. I'm looking at you, Jim Campbell.
Sorry, mate. We need VAR. VAR in this.
No, we need one ref in each half.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Right, first clue. I was born on the 13th of April, 1988 in Porto Alegre, Brazil.
Stop. Robinho.
Incorrect.
Oh, did you think I had it, Jim?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
That's been so good.
That's a good one.
Rare beast indeed, getting on the first one. Do you remember we did that? We were doing that
and
interview.
He is literally a beast.
Do you remember we did that interview with that newspaper and I got Nigel Martin in one clue?
Mm. Yeah, that was weird.
That was my best ever moment.
That was so strange. Yeah. I have made 105 appearances in the Premier League, scoring 5 times, all for one team.
Stop. Julio Baptista.
Oh, nice to hear from that guy.
Well, it's because you said he is a beast. And I thought, would Pete be that sly and accidentally
I meant Robinho.
Trip up?
That's wrong.
That's incorrect.
He scored more than 5 goals. Sure.
Well, he scored 5 in a game, didn't he?
Okay. It's fair to say he probably scored more than 5 overall then.
I just, you know what Pete's like?
Get out there.
That's rude.
It was a punch.
Take it, mate. Take it. At the swamp. My first European club was Porto, where I was until 2007.
Stop. Is it Anderson?
It's Anderson!
Yay!
Great one.
Congratulations, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
I've won the Champions League. I scored in the shootout of the winning final. I have 8 caps for Brazil and have won the Premier League 4 times. Patrice Evra once said, I bring him his burgers at 1 o'clock. Not really sure what that's about. I mean, Patrice Evra says a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I left Manchester United under David Moyes, joining Brazilian side Internacional. So I am Anderson. Congratulations to George Zizi for testing our metal.
Good one.
Patrice Evra last seen literally kicking the shit out of a fan at a game.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember what he was disgraced for. Yeah. But I wonder how his life is going right now.
It was that.
He could turn off a new leaf. No kicking fans in 2018.
Thanks, Joe Zizi. Although I found it quite easy.
If Marcus is listening to this in Argentina...
He never would have got that before me.
You reckon?
Nah.
Big talk.
He would have got himself in a real panic about it and gone really sweaty and like shaking.
Yeah, he'd be very quiet right now.
You know what
admonishing
he's like.
Himself.
Insisting that he's not annoyed.
And this won't annoy him hearing it.
No.
I think we can all be assured Marcus won't be annoyed listening to this right now.
Well, if you want to get involved and chuck a couple of clues my way, it's really easy. Pete@thefootballramble.com. That's the way to do that. Guys, thank you for putting up with me for a whole show.
Oh, it's been enjoyable.
I'll be better on Thursday. We'll be great on Thursday. Well, I'll have a lovely time.
It feels like my parents have gone away and we're being looked after by our pervy uncle.
Oh, no. I was going to say responsible babysitter.
No. Well, one posing as the other,
I printed out the running order in colour.
You did.
So
it's very, very enjoyable.
Up yours, Dolores. As always, if you want to get involved with the Football Ramble, it's shortthefootballramble.com. We can be found on Twitter @FootballRamble and Facebook and all kinds of lovely places. We'll see you on Friday morning for the Bet365 preview show. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We care about you. Have a cracking 2018. Luke, would you like to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Jim, would you like to continue the goodbyes?
I would. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.